Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of singing and praising the Lord. Lord, thou that inhabited the faces of your people, though you inhabit eternity, you also dwell with the humble and the conquerors in heart. Lord, we thank you. Lord, blessed be the glory of the Lord. Lord, the entrance of your word always giving us light. Thou, O Lord, God, will say that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. And who is the Lord? He is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. So tonight, as we read it, Lord, let the Holy Spirit give us either a remembrance or further insight to the word of God. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We are living in momentous times. A generation like no other in the history of the world. Just as the Lord said it will be. There are all kinds of events, like our brother was saying. There are celestial events. There are political events. Talking of celestial events, the Lord saying, yeah, it's coming in Luke 21, about the 25 verse. The Bible said there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, upon the earth, the perplexity of nations, there is perplexity. And we are seeing it right now, and the sea and the waves run. Just yesterday, talking of celestial events, yesterday and so on, there was a star shower. It happened every mid-November, and they call it the Leonid shower. If you are listening to the news, that is the reason why it is important to us. Why? Even because there are signs in the heavens, right? That's one of them. Just about this star shower that happened yesterday, it happened every mid-November. So let me just say a little bit about it before I go to where I want to say to you now. The spectacular meteors, known as Leonid meteor showers, usually break through the night sky, hitting the earth every mid-November. Never fail. So they call it, what are these meteor showers and so on? They are the debris of a meteor, of a meteor. And this one, normally this meteor is called, they call it Leo, because it happens in the constellation Leo, up there, So every mid-November, meteorites are the particles from a meteor, okay? And when they come across it, when the heart is rotating and they cross across it, they become like showers, they be like stars, The one, we call it the one that was so profound, was in 1833. Precisely, it was in November the 12th, 1833. It's always mid-November, 1833. And it was so severe, it was the first one that we see. In fact, all over the US, became at midnight. It was like snow was pouring with the meteor, snow was pouring and so on. People were so scared, and they ran, they ran into the streets and so on. They were praying, they saw the end of the world has come. The church bell rang, People were repenting everywhere, so that the end of the world has come, So when it was all done, and the morning breaks and so on, everything was calm again, went to their bath, and they were drinking. They forgot the vows of yesterday night, when this thing was happening, right? That was in November 12th, the same meteorite and so on. Another severe one was 1966. The same thing about that thing and so on, So always around mid-November. So it happened this year, yesterday night. Yeah, I didn't have to go and watch it in the night, but it happened and so on. Why is it so important to us? Why are we talking about it? Like I told you in Luke 21:25, the Lord says so. Especially, we know that these are showers, they are a type of what will happen during the great day of the Lord. That's how we know. That's why we are telling this and so on. We know, according to the Bible, there will be the great tribulation. Then, part of the great tribulation, there will be the darkening of the sun and the moon, following the great tribulation of time. Then, we will come the great and terrible day of the Lord. See? And that's why in Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 13, and the Bible says, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casted are untimely figs when she is shaking of a mighty wind. So what is going to happen at that time? See, that what they are thinking now, they were afraid in 1933, Now, because they know how to record it, now they are not afraid anymore. But this one will come, they come, even the greatest men of all time, the sage and everything, they run to the rock of the rock of the mountain, come and fell upon us and so on, you know, they'll be so afraid. Anyway, so we see that one is coming and so on, and that's in the great and terrible day of the Lord. The rapture has since taken place and so on. I don't know how many months before that one or years and so on, that, you know. Even this month we close out with the longest partial lunar eclipse in 600 years to happen on Friday night, you know. I don't know how much people see here. About 97% of the moon will be under, will be clouded. Eclipse of the moon happens when the moon passes in the shadow of the earth. That's why what happened right there. It passes in the shadow of the earth and an eclipse, you know, that 97% of the moon will not be seen. And it is the longest one, it is at 6 hours in 600 years. All these things are saying something, you know. Bible says night unto night, uttered speech, right? There's no nation where we don't hear their voices, right? Psalm 19, praise the Lord. Anyway, it's to awaken the dead, you know. And even the secular people, they know about these things and so on. You know, they've been announcing it since about a week or 2 ago, you know. So anyway, we know we're at the end of the age. So economic things are happening, nations are in perplexity. So it's to keep us on our watch. That's just by the way, tonight, by the grace of God, confessing and claiming our redemptive right. Praise the Lord. Confessing and claiming our redemptive right, especially in times like this. Praise the Lord. See, upon whom the end of the world has come. Now, Romans 10:10 says this. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, many Christians, they think that text is only for when we are coming to the Lord, and only for salvation and so on. But we know that, it also applies to anything else that you and I, we need from the Lord, not from God. It applies to that too. And this is because all that you and I receive from the Lord comes the same way, meaning through faith. Praise the Lord. Everything you have got from God is faith. Our salvation, by grace are we saved, right? Through faith, right? Everything you have got from God is through faith too, you know? So we know that. So we see that there, you know? So with the heart, the Bible says right there, man believeth unto, with everything we get, if baptism of the Holy Ghost, yes, with the heart, we hear the word of God, we believe. And then we confess with our mouth, right? And we receive. Name it. Anything ever for the word, for the Lord, and so on. You believe with your heart, and then you receive, and so on. With the heart, man believe for healing too, you know? And you receive healing. You hear that faith, you hear his word, by whose stripes, you are healed, past tense, and so on. And you receive healing. You confess, that's your confession, though. Everything we receive from God comes this way. No exception at all. So the scripture expressed the same thought in Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Is it wonderful that in those one or two verses right there, the word say comes in about three times and believe only one time, right? So God is telling, the Lord was telling us, you know, everything he does has a meaning. Praise the Lord. When he says say and say three times in one verse, and the word believe is just only one time, right? So it's telling us his story, idea, you know, it's teaching us something in there that saying and confessing God's word is very, very important, you know, to the believer and so on like that, you know. That's why the Lord, I believe, he did that way in the Bible, in the word of God and so on. The scripture teaches that the word of faith must not only be in our hearts, like I just read this right here, but also in our mouth. Yet another scripture, very, very important. Yeah, we have it in our heart, but we must always confess it. And I'm telling you, any Christian fail in this direction. You know, they know about the believing in the heart, but somehow they don't confess. They don't really confess, you know. In Romans 10:8, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, see, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. How can we miss it? All about the scripture and so on. In your heart, yet we believe. But you must take with your mouth for it to become a reality. Name the promise of God. Salvation. In Romans 10, 9, I don't have that here. You know, the same thing. You know, with the heart, man believes it and so on, you know. So we must recognize the place that confession holds in our lives as Christians. He taught us that there is a negative part of confession and there is a positive part of confession. It has two sides, it's a two-edged sword and so on, you know. And even with the biblical, like if any man sin, confess your sin and so on, confess your fault one to another, they are all good. Those are the negative sides of confession. But praise God, there are also positive sides of confession. And praise God again, the positive sides of confession are more in the Bible than the negative confession. Praise the Lord. The Lord encourages us to really confess positively. And the promises of God. So, in fact, Christianity is called the Great Confession. That they call it the Great Confession. Two scriptures tell us that too. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You can put confession right there. Why say profession, right? So we are professionals, right? Professional of the faith of Christ, you know. So that's one scripture there. So Christianity is called the Great Confession. Another scripture is Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest as it passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession of every promise of God. Even back in the days of Joshua, this word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Yes, in this shall you meditate day and night too, but see, every Bible you can get, yeah, in our heart, in your heart, but it must not depart. You must say it for you to possess it, you know, and so that, you know. So anyway, so we can keep on going, starting scripture about confession. So confessing and receiving and believing our redemptive Christ. Now, first, confession is it's declaring what we believe to be true. What is confession? Many definitions here. One, confessing and declaring what we believe to be true. Another way of looking at confession is this. It is giving evidence to what we know in our hearts. Another way of talking about confession or defining it is this. Testifying to the truth that we have accepted. See? Now, so, but we must know what we are to confess. You know? So, what are we going to confess? Of course, as God's children, confession centers around about five areas. People have started it out and it's true. Let's look at them very quickly. First, confession is around what God in Christ did for you and did for me in the plan of redemption. We must know our redemptive Christ. Claim them, confess them, and claim them. So you must know what Christ, know what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, you know. And not only that, we must know what God, through the Word, His Word, and the Holy Spirit, did for us in the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each of these things are sermons in their own life, which we don't have time, but just kind of highlighting what we should be confessing, really, you know, as God's children. Number three, you must know and confess what we are to God, the Father. What did God say about you and me? In this part of redemption, you must know those. That should be our confession. People will confess all kind of other things. That's the negative one and so on and that, you know. So, but we must know these things and so on. How can you confess what you don't know? So anyway, another way, what we should confess in is what the Lord Jesus is doing for us right now. And we know one thing that he's doing for us is in Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save us to the uttermost, right? Seeing that he ever lived to make intercession for us. So if you know he's interceding for you, that will help your prayer life, right? You're not alone, right? He is with you, you know? In his, you know, so it's interceding for you and I. That's the bit of our faith, you see? But God's children, we forget this in many of the time and so on. So we see that there. Another one, what should be confessing? What God is able to do through us, through you and through me. What is what we do as we speak it? So we should meditate on all these things and so on. Because we make confessing in our life and so on with us alone. And so we cannot confess about things of which we have no knowledge, like I said before. So when it's all said and done, what counts is what you personally know about the Lord Jesus Christ and what you are in Him. So that's the thing that counts most, you know. It is not sufficient just to know that, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. That is the beginning, right? But we should also know our privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what your privileges, how can you use them, no? Imagine somebody, maybe a father writes a check of $1,000 or whatever to a child and so on. I don't know anything about it. How can you spend it? You can be in penury and yet you have a check written in your name because you don't know anything about it, right? You can't use them, right? So the same thing with the Word of God. Bible says, for the natural, then the spiritual, right? So we use natural to explain spiritual things, right? So we know that. Now, when people know who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and take advantage of this thing, of this fact, they cannot fail in their Christian work. In the book of Peter, he did certain things. If you do these things, he said, then you will never fall, right? Praise the Lord. Those are the things that we have to be. So we have to know those things, right? That will keep you from falling. See? So, anyway, so now, we have redemption through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So talking about confessing, confessing and claiming our redemption rights. So and we know one of them is this, and I will zero in on this. I can't go more than this tonight because of time to pray. So we have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's one of your confession, right? He has, whether we like it or not, or we know it, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know it in your heart, you don't confess there, then we don't have the potential, but it's there for you. You know, he has done it. Anyway, reading on in that place, verse 40, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Another truth. I wasn't chosen in him the day I answered the altar call to receive Christ. He had been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Another confession we can make, right? In our daily life. Help many believers and so on, they face all kinds of trials and temptations. So, foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. All these are redemption truths, right? You know, that he has done for his children according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, I mean, these are really, really deep truths of the law for his people. Verse 7 says, yeah, I'm still going. In whom we have redemption through his blood. See, our identity is right, right? We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now that verse 7 is where I want to really kind of talk a little bit. So here I say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Where the average believer believes and that they have been redeemed from sin, so and So we are not in this place trying to get redemption. We already have redemption. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're not trying to get, we are already redeemed. That's what he says. We are not going to have it someday or sometime. We have it now, amen?
Amen.
As a child of God. That'd be our confession, you know. And from what are we redeemed from there? We have been redeemed, right? From what are we redeemed from? Well, the Bible has the answer for us. And some narrow that verse down to, like I said before, forgiveness of sins. You know, but praise God, that's part of it. But nearly, that is not nearly all of it at all. So let us go and see more of what we are redeemed from. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse. So what are we redeemed from? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So according to that verse of scripture, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Where we are New Testament folks, right? What is the curse of the law? Well, the curse of the law, you know, to us, they are referred to in the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch are the first five books of the Bible, right? So that's where that is coming from. So, and the cause of punishment for breaking God's law in those books is threefold. Number one, poverty is a cause of the law. Sickness is a cause of the law. And the second death is a cause of the law. But Bible tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the cause of poverty, redeemed us from the cause of sickness, and has redeemed us from the cause of spiritual death. That is the first thing he did for us today, you know. We are redeemed from spiritual death. And that's what fell upon man when the first parent sinned, right? So, you know, some people may, you know, say that, well, let's talk about other things that come with this redemption. How about material blessings, you know, because they are saying for poverty, right? So people will say that, oh, material or financial blessings were only promised to the Jews, you know. And some Christians say that, you know, whether you may know. And, you know, so anyway, but the Bible doesn't teach us that way. In the same book of Galatians 3, we are already before the 14th verse, says this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Talking about, you know, confessing and claiming our redemptive rights, right? So that's what we're talking about, you know, in the nutshell tonight. So what's Abraham's blessing then? We know at least Abraham's blessing is threefold in nature. First of all, he was blessed materially. He was blessed financially, which means Bible verse is here. Let me show a scripture in that one, that he was blessed naturally, materially, and you know, financially. In Genesis 13, the second verse, talking about the blessing of Abraham, right? And I say that, you know, and Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. See? Blessing of Abraham, that's one thing. Not only a material thing was he blessed. He was blessed physically, you know. And Abraham was blessed spiritually too, you know. In that tree shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, right? Spiritual blessing for Abraham and so on. And yet the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham is for us, you know. According to the scripture that I just read before, you know. So the New Testament teaches that God wants us to have material, financial, physical, and spiritual prosperity, just like he said about Abraham. Abraham, in many ways, had the elect of God. That is a whole story by itself, biblical story and truth, you know. So anyway, so that's why our own version of that will be in 3 John 2, right? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Our redemptive blessings, right? Confessing them and claiming them. See? That scripture, I put that, you know, should give us a feeling of euphoria. Like what happened to Jeremiah when he found the word of God. That was in Jeremiah the 15th chapter, the 16th verse. When we read 3 John 2, like I read it before, if you have this kind of euphoria in us, what is it in Jeremiah 15:16? Thy words were found. And I did eat them, just ate them up. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Praise the Lord. That is what God wants to do to every believer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The joy and the rejoicing of my... Job even said, even thy word I have preferred above my necessary food. The book of Job, right? See? Through my writing, he said, thy word is medicine to all my flesh. There is infinite blessings. I mean, eating up the word of God and digesting it. Praise the Lord. Confessing the word of God. See? Now, confessing it has to be the word of God, or we keep quiet, really. One of my God said that they have said a lot, or they keep quiet, right? Don't say nothing. Or but the word of God alone. Praise the Lord. Yeah. God will back up his word. Don't be afraid of it. That's another thing that Satan used to get God's people. You are not the one who will bring that word to pass. My job is to know that word, meditate and speak it. In the Great Commission, in Mark 16, I believe it says, about it, saw the last verse, and they went everywhere and preach, right? And the Lord followed them. What? With signs followed. Is it following? It's following the word they were preaching, right? He preached the word, right? And the Lord followed the word with signs following, right? If you want the signs of God, then confess the word of God, amen? Yeah. God is obligated to fulfill his word, amen? Praise the Lord. We must be bold. It's not man's word. They may look impossible to you what is promised. That has nothing to do with it. I watch over my words to perform in the Lord said, praise the Lord. Amen. All these things that are confessed them, they shall be, it shall never pass away. If you take your stand, I take my stand, it shall be as the Lord has spoken. Amen. We can keep on going tonight on different, glorious declaration of the word of God. And be like Jeremiah, see? I found them. I have to search them out and eat them up, digesting the word, right? And let me look at about two or three of them in Psalm 24, verse 1. The heart is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. See? So, everything belongs to the Lord and so, and we are heirs of God. And we are joined together with Christ, amen? All that God has is yours and mine, praise God. That's what he says, Romans 8 tells us that, right? So, whatever God has belongs to us, So we are heirs of God and we are joined heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be our confession. Confession brings possession too, yeah? You can let our heart all till we begin to really, proactively that we will say the word, are confessing the word, It just lay there dormant. You know that if God haven't spoken in the beginning, nothing will be created. Let there be light. Had he not spoken, there will be nothing created, right? The word was in him. The logos, he had to speak it out. And understand, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we understand through faith that the words were created or framed by the word of God. See? God's word is creative. Praise the Lord. If he creates for you, he creates for me. Look at all the things the Lord did. They were all by the word of God. Whether it is a withered man's hand, stretch forth your hand, amen? And as they obeyed the word of God, it was done. We don't have money to pay the tithe, to pay the taxes, IRS is going on us. Go to the river, salmon, and the very first fish you catch, just open it, there'll be a goat come right there, and you obey, and it was there. So there's unlimited possibilities to the word of God, you see? There's nothing you need in this world that God has promised that you cannot have, amen? No miracle is too hard for the Lord. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? See, I am the Lord God. Jeremiah even said, I am not God. Thou art God. That's nothing too hard for thee. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, that is our confession and our attitude to the word. See, attitude and confession to the word of the Lord. And you shall have whatever is there. Praise the Lord. However, if you don't say it, too, you got to say it. When you say it, God will back it up. You only back up His word. Praise the Lord. Help learn this thing and practice every day. Practicing the scriptures, right? You are a professional, right? I thought professional. What you mean? Let us read it and so on. Another scripture is in Psalm 50, verse 10. Just some miracle, I mean, wonderful declaration of the word of God. He says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills," he said. Belong to the Lord. Again, you are here to all of these things. You and I are here to these things that God has done, you know. And in Haggai 2:8, I just pick up the scripture as he just led, you know. And the silver arm is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. And you are here to what that God has, you know. So, and, you know, here is God's commission when He created man in the beginning. The commission He gave man before the fall, Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth." Significance, isn't it? Over all the earth. "And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 28 verse says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion." That word keep popping up. Have dominion. Okay? "Over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth." So again, I put a note that we notice that the Lord said to have dominion over all the earth. That means we include dominion over the cattle upon the thousand hills, right? We mean dominion over the silver, dominion over the gold, because over all the earth, what the Lord said in the beginning, that's what He said, and never change His mind. You know what happened? There was the high treason that was committed by the four parents, right? And that gave him the enemy of man and God, enemy of man and God, give him room, you know, to take over these things for man and all of that, you know. So, and but blessed in the name of the Lord, before the world began, He knew what Lucifer will do, and already make a plan for our redemption. So, and so when Adam sold out to the devil, Satan became the god of this world. That is in 2 Corinthians 4:3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's what I'm talking about, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ." This gospel is glorious, amen? Praise the Lord. And it's coming in a glorious appearing. See? Praise the Lord Jesus. Everything about Him is glorious. Who is the image of God as we shine unto them. So, but our Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, see, came to redeem us, talking about confessing, you know, and claiming our redemptive rights, right? So our Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 4:45 tells us so. And so it is written, "The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. It destroyed spiritual death, amen? And gave unto us eternal life." Praise the Lord. See? Let's be the name of the Lord. We read in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. Amen. We are to reign in this life, amen? Not by ourselves. No more than we save ourselves. We know that without Him we can do nothing, amen? That we know. But through Him we can do all things. Praise the Lord. That's another secret of why we fail. We think that the world doing something. No. No, he said, without me, you can do nothing, you know. Even he said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. John 5:19. Praise the Lord. So with, by him we can do all things and so on. So that means we have dominion over our life. Reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have dominion. Sorry. We are to dominate because that is demons, right? We are to dominate and not to be dominated. See? Circumstances are not to dominate us. No. Not as the one having eternal life, unless we let them. We are to dominate circumstances. Poverty is not to rule us and reign over us. We are to rule and reign over poverty. Because the Bible says we are redeemed for all those things, right? I'm talking about confessing and claiming our redemptive rights. And Galatians 3:13 says it all. Christ redeemed us for the cause of the Lord, right? And we list some of those things, I don't know that, you know. This is, you know, it's not to rule and reign over us. We are to rule and reign over disease. That's what the Bible says. We are to reign as kings in life by the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom we have our redemption. Praise the Lord. Redemptive, that's to confess and, you know, confessing and claiming our redemptive rights. So we are told in Galatians 3:29 again, which I read before, I want to read it again, the 29th verse. Then I will read another verse. So, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. That's what he says in that verse. So if you look at the same Galatians, the 7th verse of the same chapter, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And we talk about the blessing of Abraham, right? Upon us, you know, Jesus and so on. So because we have faith in the Lord Jesus, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And so I remember what is the testimony here. No, I came to this country the first time, October 19, 1979. I used to work for a company called NCR in Nigeria, so I used to come here for things and so on. I remember from what God has done in our life, the promise that God has given to us, the ministry and so on, that you know. I arrived at New York that night, on October 19th. As soon as I land on the plane and touched the ground, I said, the Lord has said, every place where the spirit of my fish has touched, as he gave for a possession. Praise the Lord. As I touched the ground for the first time, I spoke it audibly, not because I was thinking about it. Praise the Lord. See, every place. So this is for a possession. Knowing what God has told us for the beginning, the ministry and everything like that. Praise the Lord. Don't just put it in your heart. I don't speak this as I thought, you know. I remember that same place when I was in Ohio that time. I write some computer things, send it to my, you know, to my, just say. I say I'm a Gentile, but, you know, I'm not a Christian. I'm an American. 1979. I'm the spiritual seed of Abraham, amen. I will print it out. And I, what is this? Confessing and claiming our redemptive right, amen. And Bible says, we are the seed of Abraham. Those are our faith. The seed of Abraham, right? Anyway, I don't normally talk so much about it, but I think that's a, you know, another one that's here. Anyway, so let me back to that. Obviously, we can go into a prayer session right here. So, what I was saying, thank God. Abraham's blessing is yours and it's mine, amen. God gave it to you and me. See, he did. And it's ours. You know? We're not going to be shy away from what God gave us. We can be bold because God gave it to us. Amen? So, and if God be for us, who can be against us? No problem. See? Now, God did not put the cattle, the silver, and gold here on earth for the devil and his bones. That wasn't God's intention. Like, what does he say? Have dominion over all this, what he told us in the beginning. And has redeemed us. See? Yes, we know that God loves he loved the people of the world. God also loved the world, right? We know. But we know he doesn't love them, but that he loves us his children. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So why should they have all these things and we don't have anything? Why? You know? So it ought not to be so, right? So he loves us as his children. God put these things on her for his people to enjoy. See? That's what he did. You know, but we have to confess them and take possession. How do we do? By faith. Everything is by faith, right? Yeah. You know, praise the Lord. Nothing shall be, in Matthew 17, nothing shall be impossible unto you, no matter what. You see, what you have is what it is done in it. Go about your business rejoicing and praising God. Of course, you know by now. Your senses will fight you to the last. You only fail when you give up. Amen? If you don't give up, you are a winner. Amen? This time must bow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Your senses must give way. Go into the, change the gear to the sixth sense. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Change the gear of your life to the sixth sense and see God move for you in a miraculous way.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we see. Now, So the Lord wants you and I to have the best. See? The Lord said of our Heavenly Father in Matthew 7, 11th verse, as I wrap up here quickly. If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You see, that asking and confessing, and that's what we have to do. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Nobody is ever left out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are told in the book of James, if you are asking, ask in faith. Amen. So because, you know, a double-minded man, a stable one in all this way, you know, just ask by faith. You know, and it's just for your claiming. You know, even that that simple. The senses will counteract, they will fight you. You just ignore it, amen. Casting that imagination. And every item that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Who is Christ? The Word of God, amen? Let it come and tell you something. No, he has just hear the Lord, amen? And as you stand, it shall come to pass, amen? It shall have whatsoever is here. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, now, God has made provision for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember that God has already put gold, silver, and cattle and so on upon the thousand east. Let us remember that we have authority through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan for his elect people. Yes, he has a plan for us, the elect of God, to be granted, to be established in finances that literally no economy will affect the true church of God. Amen?
Amen.
God's kingdom marches on. Amen?
Amen.
God's kingdom marches on and so on. So no economic situation. And I'm talking about it because the time we are living in, the days are evil. Amen? Praise the Lord. So economy, time and so on. Good times, bad times, depression, recession, it makes no difference to the child of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. As if we are to confess and claim our redemptive rights. Praise the Lord. That's all it takes. God wants his true church to grow and flourish no matter what the world might be facing in its godless economy. Amen?
Amen.
Well said, our economy, not tied to man's system, is tied to the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These are the things we should be telling ourselves every day, you know, and we have to hammer it out. So I'm confessing and claiming God's promises and so on, and redemptive rights and so on. Now, hear this one. God has set a portion of this world's wealth for you. Amen?
Amen.
I say God has a portion of this world's wealth for you as believers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Haven't we read that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof? So, I mean, is it for the devil then? It's for you and me. We are heirs of God and just we are with God, with Christ. You know? So, anyway. It is yours for the taking, brethren. Claim what you need in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close with his word now. See? In Matthew 6:31. And therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things, to the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the promise of the Lord. The Lord said that all these things. So when we effectively do our part of establishing the kingdom of God, then God will do his own part, giving you and I all these things that you need and want. One thing we fail to see is this. Now, the Bible says the kingdom of God, somebody has vowed it, right? And the violence, take it by force. Whatever is not by arrow and spear and things, it is by the word of God, right? So take Israel for example. God promised the promised land, right? They had to fight with everything to get the last square footage of it, right? That is that is tomorrow. But they have it. God promised them, right? So anyway, so what I'm saying tonight is that let us confess and claim our redemptive rights. So according to the word of the Lord, God will back up his word. Amen? Amen. Will not fail us. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship you, Lord. Forever, O Lord, our word is settled in heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So now that you are watching over every promise to perform it, to help us to, remember, I will say, sometimes we forget many things, you know, to claim and to confess and to claim that which you have already given unto us. Sometimes we are praying for the thing that God already gave to us. When we read the word of God, which shall be given to us, just confess them and the Lord will do it. So help us and your children everywhere, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord. Study the word of God. And the Bible says that we know the things which have been freely given unto us of God. Help us in this direction, Lord. Father, we worship and we thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.